Hello, humans, and welcome to
Hi.
Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I hate Dan right now. That's that idiot Dan over there laughing.
One more time.
God damn it.
I just wanted to fuck with you.
That's why you can't have nice things. I just want to cradle my cat now and like hide in a corner. I want to go to the crypt and get eaten by White Walkers. Dude, I'm so down for baby Sam, for Sam to have to kill baby Sam.
I'm so down for Thought Arya. Hello, humans, and welcome
Hello.
To Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. You are Sean, I am Dan. And we're about to do a podcast.
And this is not the eighth time that we've started Syntro.
Yeah, it's only the third.
Exactly.
It's a really light week. Also, the cliffhanger has been broken because Sean is actually here.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I don't want to explain it for the third time, so I've messed up. I'm going next week. So next week, no Audio Face, and I'm going to see Maddie Healy and then tell you about how great it was.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do as a part of the...
Fangirl over it.
We'll do as a part of the upcoming episode that comes after that.
Yeah, the 5th of May?
Yeah, 2 weeks from now, which is going to be like a big...
5th or 6th of May?
It's mostly going to be... Well, I'll just...
That's crazy, man. It's already almost May. It's gonna be May.
That's why your mental calendar's breaking, because, like, time is moving very quickly. We're, like, very nearly halfway through 2019.
I don't like that.
We're in the second quarter. Anyways,
I don't like that.
Let's really fast, because we're on the topic, talk about what we're going to be reviewing 2 weeks from now. Or, yeah, 3 weeks from now. And then we'll talk about what we're reviewing this week. 3 weeks from now or whatever is Schoolboy Q, because that album's coming out next week.
Allegedly.
For the Thrones soundtrack. So the Game of Thrones soundtrack is going to be coincide right inside series episode 3. We're getting Vampire Weekend 2 weeks from now. So when we come back, we'll get a proper new release. And then maybe we'll talk about the 1975 live review, or maybe we could break that out as a bonus episode for the people.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a bonus episode.
Yeah, but as you see right now, because you've clicked on the title of this episode, we're going to be reviewing Labyrinth, Sia, and Diplo. They're a super group now, and they're called LSD, and they released an album on Bicycle Day, because of course.
Bicycle.
We have Social Cues by Cage the Elephant. Cage the Elephant's back, I guess. And speaking of back, I guess, the last word for their last puff of air before they evaporate the OJs.
Okay.
Audio Face, before the bodies are even cold. So
okay, so Beck made a track called Solid Lightning, and it's very Becky.
It's Becky with the good tunes. That's what I can describe it
yeah,
as.
Yeah, well, it's spoken word Beck with a lot of drum. It's like the Information Beck.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
it was my
is
favorite
one, both of our favorite albums, because the Information goes hard. I didn't realize that he was even making stuff, because I don't know what the Church of Scientology lets him do. So, but Everybody's Favorite Scientologist is back, and is he supposed to make an album?
So here's what's going on. He is on tour with Cage the Elephant,
because
there's
a song he's featured on.
Yeah.
In the new album.
And,
song, actually, we'll get to that.
Yeah, they are going to kind of tour, and then Beck released this song by saying, A, I collaborated with Pharrell Williams on, like, writing it and producing it.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
okay.
there's a lot of
Everybody's Favorite Vampire
voodoo going on in that song.
Right.
And secondly, Beck just basically said, yeah, I'm coming out with an album. It'll be out whenever the fuck it's out.
Which, very Beck.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm down for him to make another album, because I did like Colors, and that was,
yeah.
That was already 2 years ago, which is crazy.
And then the first single from Colors came out like a year and a half before Colors even came out. So it could be by this year that Beck comes out with an album.
Or it could be by the LA 2028 Olympics. Who knows?
It could be in the, I would say Sanders administration, but he probably won't last till 2021, even if he is elected. Anyways,
right.
Speaking of... Actually, this is not really a great segue to this.
Well, you didn't know. Stop.
Sure.
First off, if your name is Lil Dicky, you need to...
Lil Dicky is an artist of some kind, a musician of some kind, and he spent his latest music video, Earth, and it's star-studded. It has Justin Bieber, Ariana Grande, a bunch of other people, Katy Perry, Snoop Dogg, Wiz Khalifa. It's basically a DJ Khaled album worth of artists, but just on the song. And it's kind of like to raise awareness for climate change. And I think they're going to use a portion of the profits to go towards climate change related topics and things. Yeah, you have Lil Yachty in here. You have Not a Little Bitch Ed Sheeran in here.
Not a little bitch, but you know, I love it.
No, no, once you know a little bitch, always know a little bitch.
It was when Butler know a little bitch award, not him.
Well, he came really close.
He was, if he like tripped on air, he would have gotten it, but you know. Anyways, this is a giant star fuck, is my favorite thing
it is.
To explain.
But at least it's somewhat for charity, so I will accept
it. How do you donate to climate change, is my question.
There are different organizations. I mean, like, it's multifaceted, so you could...
And what if you look into it?
What if you look into it and find out that Leonardo DiCaprio is giving money directly to Chevron for their research and developments? They can install some...
They can install some batteries in Teslas and make them blow up.
Sure, everything that man has touched.
I'm a CDO manager. There's something to manage.
So, LSD, Labyrinth, Sia, and Diplo. They are three artists that have separately worked together, but now they have created a thing called LSD that songs have been trickling out for the past year or so.
Yeah.
And there's even like half of this thing released like a month ago, basically. But no, the full thing as it is out today.
Which is only basically like five new songs, more or less.
Yeah. It's 10 asterisk songs long. Yeah. I'd say it's 9, honestly.
Yeah. About a half hour long. Yeah. 30 minutes.
Should I start?
Yeah.
And then you like kind of fill in?
Yeah, it's fine with me. Go.
It could be a lot worse, but needs to be a lot better.
Very, very true. It could be a lot, lot worse. Living in the Dylan Francis age of electronic music, it could be 30 times worse than
it
is.
This is a very pared back of that Dylan Francis style. You don't even have the build-up drops thing aren't that bad. They're still there because Diplo's producing.
When I'm at LSD, I'm like, ooh, who's the Diplo? I go, God damn it.
Yeah. I mean, Diplo's done Diplo, he's done Major Lazer, he's done like whatever 6 different projects. It's just, it's very tied out. I mean, how many more beats this guy really has?
He needs to do the Damon Albarn and just retreat for a while and don't buy an iPad, whatever you do, Diplo. Just don't buy an iPad or anything that Diplo has a music app.
Diplo presents the spring instead of the fall.
Oh, God, no.
But,
coming this to you this May.
But, no, he pulls a Damon Albarn and says April-ish. but you sort of understand the sound by the first, or maybe the second or third song.
The second or third song, exactly.
Definitely Genius, I think, might be you'll understand what this album's basically going for, and I would also say that's, like, the highlight of the album for me, because it seemed like the most, song with the most concise idea. It still didn't really please me all that much because most of the album just felt like it was iterating off of a really dull idea over and over again. And even though it was short, like it didn't really do that well. Like everything was just sort of the drawn out, I've heard it again before, that EDM does where it's like...
Which is the same, big problem in it.
The same sort of tropes, the same sort of sounds. It's like, you know, we said this over and over again. We expect sort of better. It sort of
it's getting drawn out, and that's my problem with a lot of EDM and a lot of big collaborations between artists, singer songwriters, electronic producers, and whatnot. It's just getting, it's getting more now. It's like trap where okay, we've heard it, but do something more with it. You know, we had the Chemical Brothers last week, which was great, and that's something like okay, I'm down with that. But even then, at the same point, still, I want somebody to push it forward. Somebody to do something different with an album.
Yeah, I mean, like, we should expect three decent artists coming together to not just create things we've all heard from them before. They should create things that are, like, cool and different and mix the best of both of them to do something cool, not just something that, like, it is like a paper you write the night before and pass in for, like, a C. No, we're expecting better quality stuff. But, the arbitrary scale for unless you have anything else to say.
No, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, the arbitrary scale for this week is Game of Thrones episodes, because HR wouldn't let us do Sri Lankan fireworks. But the main reason is that you can basically rank Game of Thrones episodes based on how good they've been, or like how important they've been to the series. LSD is basically anything in season two.
Yeah, pretty
like,
much.
It's fine. It's there. You don't even really need to explain the story. You can just explain
season
two.
It's all
two
the stuff like, with yeah. the blackfish. Because it was just, it wasn't used.
Yeah.
Any episode of the Blackfish. This is interesting. BTS, everybody's favorite Korean boy band.
Literally.
And Billie Eilish are, they may collab, because apparently BTS wants to collab with Billie Eilish, which would be interesting to say the least.
It would be really wild. Both of them are very, like, subvertive pop stars. Definitely BTS in a safer way.
Yeah, and then Billie Eilish is definitely more avant-garde in that regard.
Yeah.
Ah, that rhymed. I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah.
Actually, I kind of would like to see, because normally, lately, I've been opposed to collaborations because they're overdone a lot, especially in the past 5-6 years. But that's something where it's two completely different band/person on two different continents.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, two completely different cultures and styles of music, and I would interesting to see what they could do.
So, on that same note, one of the band members also said that Drake would be a cool person to collaborate with.
Okay, well, they just got docked down points, but okay.
But another band member said that they said that another possible collaborator in the BTS's future could be Troye Sivan.
All right, I can.
So you know, they're feeling out things.
They're feeling out things, yeah. Troye Sivan, I'm super down for that too.
You know, it's really interesting. Pop is not horrible right now. Could be worse. we turn back to Fox News. I honestly wish I could have more energy right now to be more like hardcore, but because Audio Face, there have been some classic Audio Face rants, especially in the 40s. Where I just kind of like went in on some Fox hosts.
I was like, okay, Dan, we get it.
It started to make Sean fear for his career. That's how bad the podcasts were. But,
right? I'm not even on camera. What the hell?
Right? You were just uncomfortably near me, but it was like that kind of bad alibi sort of thing. Anyways, the game, Snoop Dogg, T.I., and a couple others have.
T.I.
That's T.I. No.
Never forget.
They've all are kind of calling on Fox News' Laura Ingraham to be fired after a segment deriding Nipsey Hussle, where basically she's laughing, making fun of the fact that the song Fuck Donald Trump, which is barely even a Nipsey Hussle song, it's just a Nipsey Hussle feature.
Yeah, that's actually not a song.
They're kind of laughing at that song, like going, ha, how eloquent, whatever. And they were laughing during the like story about, oh, well, he died recently and they just had a funeral for him, but like.
See, the one that she should be laughing about is XXXTentacion.
Because like, that shit's funny.
Because that shit's hilarious.
That's a layup.
Like, come on. Come on, Laura. You're better than that. Well, you're not really better than that.
Not
but
really.
If you want to laugh about a rapper dying, at least laugh about the one that did die for a good cause.
Okay, but if Laura Ingraham cared about justice being done to people who did sexual assault, she wouldn't work at Fox News Channel.
Right. Well, that's extremely true. Woodstock 50 ticket. Wait, what? Sorry. My brain backwards somersaulted.
That's why I'm hosting, because yep. I speak so much better. Woodstock 50, the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, we were kind of talking about a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about a couple of different tours.
Yeah, there's a couple of different
bands or shows that are happening.
Yeah, that are going
but,
on.
But
it's been 50 years.
Yeah.
Mate.
Jesus.
It's a long time. Since Jimi Hendrix's rendition of the Star Spangled Banner, which.
You all know it was also amazing. 50 years ago? The last time the Toronto Maple Leafs won Stanley Cup.
Dan, for saying this, you have no idea how happy this made me that Dan, A, made an NHL reference, and B, one of my favorite statistics out of the entire NHL, that Toronto hasn't won shit since the Penguins were formed.
Since Woodstock.
Since Woodstock.
Actually, Woodstock plus 2 years.
Yeah.
Anyways,
point stands, Toronto, you suck.
Anyways, because people do remember Woodstock, they've had a little bit of trouble trying to find a mass gathering permit and a location. So,
the Black Keys pulled out? That's
hilarious. The Black Keys pulled out because they're unable to get a gathering permit from the village of Watkins Glen where the festival is supposed to take place. So until
Watkins
they
Glen
get them
be kind of an ass to deal with.
Until they get them damn permits, Not gonna, it ain't it, Chief. It's looking bad. Nevertheless, they're gonna still try to do something. I think the original, like, you know, the OG Woodstock. It's not going to be called Woodstock, but it has all the 60 people. And it's going to be like near the same place.
And see, this one has the Killers, Miley Cyrus, Santana, and Lumineers. All right.
Yeah, you've got
everybody's favorite overrated Chance the Rapper. Imagine Dragon. Oh, God. Cage the Elephant. I could fuck
with that. One of my favorite parts.
Oh, they got Vince Staple.
One of my favorite parts of re-listening to the last episode was how, like, you could tell emotionally you were over it once you read the name Mumford & Sons. You're just like, Mumford, fuck.
It is my version of the Majority Report. I can't physically say it.
For Dave Rubin?
Yes.
We dunk on Dave Rubin too much for this to be a music podcast. Anyways.
Because I'm waiting for him to whistle. People need to know why we add him to the Notable Obituary at the end of the year, okay?
we need to
have context. Because remember, you have to talk about it. What's my rule? What's the rules for Notable Obituary?
It has to be mentioned on the podcast. Fair. Okay, let's...
Fair,
speaking
balance,
of mentioning things on the pod...
Cage the Elephant.
Can I... Never mind. I don't need to dunk on Brett Beyer on this podcast at all.
Bring it that enough. Cage the Elephant finally released a new album.
Yes.
Which I've been waiting for a minute. Social Cues, which has a really weird album cover. What's up with people having weird album covers this year? Anyways.
Because they gotta stick out in people's screens.
Emoji snored. That was really cute.
We have a studio cat, so you probably won't be able to hear, but...
She did her little snore thing when she's laying down, and she's like, come pet me, you peasants.
Whoa, okay, maybe not.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Social Cues has 13 songs on it.
44 minutes long. Their first album in a few years, I think the last one's Tell Me I'm Pretty, I believe, in 2015.
Yeah.
Was it that one, or I swear...
No, that was the last one. Malephobia came out a little before that.
But. Okay, cool. I do thoroughly enjoy Cage the Elephant in general, because to me, they're one of the last true alternative rock bands, because that's kind of a dying genre in a way. You've heard my many rants on this podcast about it.
I'll also point out, that as a little aside, part of the 1975's live visuals at Coachella was like a banner that said, rock is dead, long live the 1975.
Yeah, yeah. It's been one of the promotions for Brief Inquiry.
Yeah.
They've done that on social medias and stuff, too. They are correct. But anyways...
Because they have an audio face.
Seriously. This is actually a good album. It's something that I think has been lacking for a while in alternative genre, as I do quotation marks, because it's so broad now. But it's something that... This year especially has been lacking, where I feel alternative is either going in the stupid trap snare area, or they're going in the really boring. There's kind of no in between.
Alternative either gets really bland or dull, or tries to modernize too much by stealing from what is in pop and rap music.
What's popular?
While kind of watering down its own sound.
Good in the streets. What's cool, the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not doing well. But this is...
How's it going, fellow youths?
Right. And to me, this is actually very good for 2019. It's a kind of traditional alternative rock album, but it feels updated enough to belong in 2019. That's been another issue I've had with some of them, where they sound dated. It sounds like it should be in 2005, or should be in 2010, maybe. But in 2019, this is something that can hold its own. Social Cues is a very good song. Because it's about their touring, and I like the one line where it has, but you play on the radio. And this, it's about, I don't know who wrote the song, but one of the band members is saying that he kind of wants to retract away because of how crazy touring is and everything. And from the spotlight saying, okay, I want to retract away. And then people are saying, but it's so cool. But you play on the radio. He's like, but I want to be in my own little bubble. Which is pretty cool for...
It's that BTS sort of thing of like,
yes, I have fame,
but I don't love the results
of that. In like an upbeat, but in a normal alternative rock song, which most of the time alternative rock in that way doesn't go too deep into lyrics for the most part, but that song did. A song with Beck, Night Running.
Night Running is probably my favorite song.
Fantastic song, man. That's a really, really good track. Stop. Not far away. We're running all night.
Yeah.
Beck slays as always. It's that spoken word Beck, but with Cage the Elephant in the background.
Yeah.
Which somehow mixed. And they have a couple other songs. Love's the Only Way is really good. The War is Over, which is a song right after that. Tokyo Smoke, which is second to last song. And this is one thing to me where the entire album kept up the pace. It started off into Broken Boy's interesting track. Social Cues really felt like that's the track that it went off. Then it kind of slowed down with Beck Madonna, and then after that with Night Running with Beck, it kept up pace for the rest of the album. I think it was actually one of my favorite put together albums in a long time, where I felt like every song belonged where it needed to be. Which that's been a problem for a while, where it's been a trend this year, especially where the first half of the album's good, the second half is kind of shit. We had that with Fools.
Right.
We had a couple other bands as well. We had a Tori Moi, kind of same thing, where it's been falling flat, but this is finally a put together album, top to bottom. Especially in alternative rock, which I'm very happy of. What do you think?
I hard disagree.
Really?
Not hard, but yeah, pretty hard. Basically, Night Running was the highlight of the album to me because it felt like the only track that wasn't sort of stuck, rooted in the past, if it makes sense. You said this was a good album for 2019. I think this was a good Cage the Elephant album for 2016 or 2017. And I think there's one caveat I should bring in here is that I liked Millophobia, but I didn't really like Tell Me I'm Pretty that much. I think Cage the Elephant did a little bit of a turn between those two albums.
Well, I did not like Tell Me I'm Pretty.
Okay. Well, then...
like, it wasn't that great of an album.
Right. To me, it feels like a more upbeat version of that, which is not necessarily good. It still doesn't make me like the album that much. Because to me, I think the big gripe I had with it was that it kept... not that it kept, but... it fell into... the best way I could describe it is Damon Albarn writing a play. And it's just like this mode when Damon Albarn was just getting kind of preachy with his songwriting and sort of just kind of getting spoken word and tired, because you could almost tell within it, he was running out of ideas. Some of it lyrically feels like that. Like around Skin and Bones, Ready to Let Go, Hours of Glass. For me, that part was just like, okay, what am I seeing here that pushes alternative forward or makes it sort of different rather than just sort of recreating the same thing? And I tried to listen to it even twice to see if I just didn't like it the first listen, but to me it just sort of felt like a drone or sort of a move or a low point. Night Running, I think because Beck was on there, I think helping with the production, it did something to kind of freshen it up a little bit, and I wish that just was reflective of the rest of the album. But it just sort of seems like maybe it's a softer album thematically, but it's pretty disappointing for me as a Cage the Elephant album.
Okay, well, we definitely disagree on that.
Yeah. It doesn't happen super often, but it's there. I would call this like season 6, episode 1 or 2. Something like
that. Whatever the episode, the Hound gets the chicken and Arya gets her sword back and gets that first kill. Because that episode was... that was the highlight of the episode.
Right.
But then the rest of the episode was kind of whatever. That's what I feel like that it was. Okay.
Meanwhile...
Another little bitch update.
We get to talk about Another Little Bitch Offset. Yay! There's this one sort of noticeable thing.
Oh, God.
Is that, for some reason, Offset's still doing music videos off of whatever album he released a couple months ago. And in the latest video for Clout, which was on that album, he and Cardi B are basically just like dancing very provocatively and sexually together, seeming to indicate that maybe they're put the whole Offset cheating on her and then ruining her concert to try to get back with her thing. Maybe that's all past them. I don't know.
Who cares? He's an old little bitch.
Fuck this guy.
And Cardi, you're stupid as fuck if you brought him back in and you did it to yourself. As Tom York says, you did it to yourself.
But she's for Bernie, so I'll let it slide.
Oh, okay.
We don't love talking about Old Town Road, but...
oh, God. No, the worst thing I heard in years is that... I think that was actually the Maple Leafs stadium is a Old Town Road. Somebody remixed it into an EDM drop song, and they played it at the Maple Leafs arena, and I wanted to gouge my ears out. I might have. It was definitely Boston versus Toronto, but I think it was in Toronto at the Bell Center.
I think Old Town Road EDM remix might be exactly how you get into hell. But anyways, Old Town Road just beat a record for most streamed song in I think ever, or at least for now.
Jesus Christ.
Because before, the most streamed song was Drake's "In My Feelings."
That's rough.
And so now Old Town Road with Billy Ray Cyrus has beat Drake. So hey, at least there's that. I think this is a net positive.
That's a net negative for music around the world. Let's go to our third album.
Let's talk about the OJs before it's too late.
Before The Juice Is Loose comes back out. What? The Last Word, the OJs. 9 songs, 36 minutes long, if I could speak English.
Thanks for giving me them specs.
Yeah. Give me my metrics. Metric booming.
So yeah, the OJs are, this is very weird, but the OJs are a blues band from a blues soul, really original rhythm and blues, R&B band from fucking 70s?
I believe so,
basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Because so 70, I personally know them best, and I think most people do, as being they actually created the theme song to our Supreme Overlords reality TV show.
Mm-hmm.
For the Love of Money. But yeah, they're kind of just like some of the founding patriarchs of R&B and soul and what that sort of came into. And The Last Word is sort of there in this incarnation, because many of the original members have died or just not there anymore. But in this incarnation, just sort of making their own sort of thing. I thought it'd just be in the spirit of Audioface and doing weird emojis really cute right now. Reviewing interesting things. We review the dying cough of...
of the OJs,
and literally in the first 1 minute of the album is just this political preachy shit about that. And if they build that wall and
I heard that too. Oh my god! Oh no! We just got Lana Del Rey by OJs.
By people who literally made money off of Donald Trump using their song.
Yep.
You know how unwoke that is.
They might have to go on the we have an unwoke award, correct?
Yeah,
Most sleep.
No, it's the Hard R Award.
Okay.
Okay, you made money off of Donald Trump, and now you're going to say, well, if they build that wall, it's okay because we have togetherness. Now, maybe we should...
If you say we have togetherness, you are an Obama-centrist prick, and you need to go reevaluate your life.
You will
just became the political cast.
You will not disparage Pete Buttigieg on this podcast, sir. He is the hero for everyone in the Pod Save Dating Facebook group. But while we're on the... While we're talking about the OJs, we might call it the Most Sleep Award, but maybe we shouldn't give the Most Sleep Award to people who are about to be 6 feet under.
Oh, my God.
Largely,
Jesus. It's kind of... Okay, to give the music a review. It's cool to hear some, funk in 2019, but this feels extremely outdated.
Yeah.
It feels like I'm listening to oh, my God. I can't English. My English is gone.
You're listening to the...
I literally... Hold on.
Well, to me, the only thing that's new about The Last Word is that it's recorded digitally.
Yeah. The Isley Brothers.
The Isley
Brothers. If I could speak English. I'd say that's what it's... like that, but the Isley Brothers are really, 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 really good. Yeah. And this just feels like extremely outdated, want to be that in 2019, preaching about the wall. Like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Like, there's Uncle Rap, and then there's, like,
Uncle R&B. Is there Grandpa R&B now?
No, this is Grandpa Jazz.
Grandpa Jazz? That's rough. I won't even call this jazz. This is more funk, in a way.
Yeah.
Grandpa Funk.
No, we've had funk. This is, like, Grandpa R&B.
R&B, yeah.
Old school R&B, you know. This is...
Holy Jesus, okay.
Season 3, episode 4.
This is like... Season 3, episode... Okay, I don't even know what episode that is. It's like season 1, episode...
Before it gets good.
Oh, this is like... season 5, there was some random shit in there that just didn't make sense. I know that for sure.
Oh, no, you know what's really... You know what this is? Season 1, episode 2, because it's old and everyone's forgotten about it.
Pretty much. So,
and some people you don't remember died in it. Anyway,
pretty much.
I'm gonna be, you know what I'm gonna be remembered for? Dunking on the OJs.
Pretty much.
Anyways, we always like to end Audio Face on a fun note, and I figured it'd be fun to go through this consequence of sound review of the Frank Zappa hologram tour. We're not gonna go through the whole thing, obviously. But basically, the way they did it, I think is sort of interesting. So the hologram was basically, it didn't do much like 3D stuff where it was moving like towards you. It was kind of moving like side to side. Yeah.
It just looks really trippy and weird.
It accompanied a whole like light show and everything. And... it's definitely really interesting because they, the, at least the way they produced it is that they have different light shows and they're combining that with political messages and things like that. There's like aspects of Martin Luther King to it. They make some Wes Anderson inspired like designs with the light. So it's not like the hologram is static and it's interacting like a person the whole time. It's like, honestly, like a gorilla show where it's just like,
yeah, like visual. It's a screen visual thing. It's different for a hologram because all the other holograms that we've seen have been trying to recreate the person too much.
Yeah.
That's always my problem. This one's a bit different in a way. So, yeah, that's strange as hell.
Yeah. There's also no opening act, which is sort of cool. So it's sort of like you just hit play.
All right. Robot video game beats. This has been Audio Face. Thanks for listening. Next week, we know here.
Yeah.
Because I'm in Colorado.
And that's going to be fun.
Going to watch the battle scene by myself. And then the following week, we have some stuff. I don't know.
The following week, we're going to have Schoolboy Q, Vampire Weekend, the For the Throne soundtrack, so the contemporary Game of Thrones, which will be fun. And then maybe you'll talk about your little 1975 trip for a couple minutes in the beginning of the episode, you know, for the people, because there are a lot of 1975 fans here, because... y'all listen to what we like.
This makes me happy.
Which is cool.
I'm gonna go pet my cat.
And because we're about to start a new month, I guess it's fair to go into some of the albums that we might be expecting. Carly Rae Jepsen, yay!
Why the hell are we even talking about that? But okay.
I don't know, that's coming out in May, so it might be there, might be not. The National, Mac DeMarco, Flying Lotus,
and
got added.
Flying Lotus, oh man. I actually did a music recommendation on Flying Lotus.
I think it did, a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. But it was like one of the very first music recommendations. I definitely did Cosmogrove for sure.
Because it's just such a great...
weird, crazy experimental album. That
when
is
we
good.
Do the like highlights of the 2010s, Cosmogrove is going to go over there.
That came out in 2011. That's... yeah. Wow. Time flies, people. Time flies.
So, here's the cool part of the episode where we talk about the places you can follow us. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Internet. On Instagram, and that's not how Twitter, whatever. As you can tell, we're very tired. As you can tell, we need our
go follow us. Follow
us. I'm gonna do it.
Okay,
do it.
You messed up. So
no.
I'm gonna do it.
Audio Face can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Web.
Yes.
And on Instagram at Dan from the Internet.
Yes.
Sean can be found everywhere on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. Be sure to go to audioface.show for everything Audioface related. And even though we're not going to be here next week, go ahead and listen to some of the older episodes. Maybe you missed one. Maybe you have listened to us reference a bunch of things in the past and you can go, well, now's your chance to go listen to some of that stuff. There's a lot of content we've created over the past 2 years, so go ahead and listen
content,
to that.
Content.
We're slaves to algorithms. But we do like it when you rate us 5 stars because that releases us from bondage just a little bit. Remember, we have nothing to lose but our chains. Cheers.
Oh, thank you, my humble proletarian.